Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Lovely to be with you all. My name's Brian, if we haven't met before. And as a church, we've been going through and through a book, but we've been talking about prayer. Just talking about how we can talk with God and how He, if we listen, will talk back to us. So the series is simple prayer, because prayer should be as simple, whether you've been following Jesus for a very long time, or whether you don't know if there's a God, but you're just asking if there's a God. It's a form of prayer. And so prayer should be simple, and hopefully tonight we'll just unpack some really basic theology. Up to this point, we've been focusing on a lot of the practical bits of prayer, which has been really helpful to me. And then Darren went away and said, Brian, you do the theology. So a bit of a summary as to where we're up to. We've covered a number of different things, you know, about prayer being adoration. John last week covered walking with God in prayer. But a bit of a summary. Prayer is receptive, as in it's a response to what God's done. God moves towards us, and we respond by talking back to Him in prayer and listening. Prayer is intuitive. Even people who are not Christians, who do not follow God, there's this intuitive aspect of a higher power and trying to communicate with that higher power. And once we do know God, it's natural to want to talk to Him. So there's this intuitive element. And the last thing I'll just say is prayer is personal. Because of what Jesus has done, Christians can talk to God directly. We as individuals and as a community, we have direct access to God, which is pretty amazing. Direct access to the Creator of the universe. And we can grow in that relationship, and we can grow in how we pray and talk to Him. That's a bit of a summary. First question for you, though, because I want to get you talking. Were you taught to pray? Did anyone ever sit you down, whether it was with a booklet or did you watch a YouTube video or with your parents? Maybe you saw something on TV. Were you taught to pray? I don't want you to yell out answers, but if you were taught, how were you taught? Or, like me, this is my story, I just sort of picked up how to pray by being around other people who were praying. So I was brought up in church, and you know, we went to a prayer meeting, and everyone prayed, so you learned how to pray from them. And in my family, we prayed before we ate a meal, so I learned to pray the same way that my parents prayed for the meal. So if you were taught to pray, you know, you might find you still follow that same pattern now. If you weren't taught to pray, you probably find you pray in a similar way to those around you. I don't know if you ever find yourself changing the words that you use based on who's in the room if you're praying out loud. Maybe you pray differently when you pray out loud to when you're praying silently and talking directly with God when there's no one else around. All that to say that we have a way that we pray. And it's not wrong. There's not necessarily wrong or right ways to pray, and that's what we're going to get to in the theology. But just understand that whether you're praying directly to God or whether you've ever just yelled out to a God who you don't believe in, there is a way that you pray. You with me? Great. Let's read Galatians 4 together. Because it's theology, there's a lot of different backgrounds and experiences, and so I really want to let the scripture speak for itself. We can absolutely have a conversation around different understandings of prayer, but we'll do that in smaller groups. We're not going to do it from the front here. So we're going to use the scriptures and let the scripture speak and let the Holy Spirit speak to each of us as we go through. So Galatians 4, if you have your Bible, please open. Otherwise, feel free to read off the screens as well. Galatians 4 says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are His sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir." Praise the Lord. How amazing is that? We've gone from slaves, we've gone from completely separate to God to being part of His family. We've been elevated way beyond our station into the family of God, into the family of the Creator. As a Christian, if you follow Jesus, you're an heir to the Almighty. Just let that sink in for a little bit. No? You will receive a great inheritance. And it's not because we do anything. It's all because of His grace. By grace, we've been elevated well beyond our station, as I said. By grace, we have direct access to the Father because of what Jesus has done. By grace, we're invited to call God Abba, which is an intimate term for Father. By grace, Christ has made us brothers, His brothers and His sisters. And by grace, we've been given the Holy Spirit to dwell within our hearts. The Holy Spirit that empowers us to pray to God. So it's all a gift. It's all a very generous, beautiful gift. We've been elevated beyond our station. Now, it's pretty amazing to think that we can talk directly with God. For me, I grew up in a church, so I take that for granted, but just to go from a place of not being able to talk to someone who's powerful and influential to being able to talk to them is huge. I wonder if who is the person you want to meet in the world? Like, is there someone famous or someone who's doing really cool things that you really like? If it's geology or whatever, is there someone you want to meet and chat with, but they just seem so far above where you are currently? It's magnified when we talk about God. He is the Almighty. He is, and we get to talk to Him. And as we pray, as we talk to Him, our relationship grows, just like any friendship. We covered that in the first few weeks. We're in God's family, so over time, there's a familiarity that grows. We're able to bring Him more and more. He knows everything in our hearts, but I feel like over time I can be more vulnerable with God and bring Him more and more things. And we're growing the relationship. As I pray more, the Holy Spirit does a work in me and I listen better to God. And my thoughts and my will align more closely with His. So our familiarity grows. Our intimacy with Him grows. We move to a point where we can, we don't have to wait until something big happens in our life, but we can pray about the little things. And that's okay. Familiarity is good as long as we don't forget who we're talking to, because we can slide too much into the familiar where, and I do this, where it becomes selfish, where I just start asking God for all the little things that are going on in my life and I forget just how wonderful it is to talk to the Creator. I forget that I should be in a posture of reverent awe before Him. So as we truly get to know God, as we build the relationship, those two things, which could be paradoxical, they could be in tension with each other, a sense of reverence, awe, and wonder, and a sense of familiarity and casual conversation, those things could be different directions, but they're not. As we grow closer with God, we get to talk to Him more intimately, like we would a father, but we also get to understand more and more of His nature and character and just how wonderful it is to be able to talk to Him. If we fall to either side, I'm probably more in the boat of it becoming too casual, and that's detrimental because I'll start asking for things selfishly. But just as detrimental is going the other way, where we go, I can't know God personally. As I approach the throne room, there's all these hoops I have to jump through, and I got to stand back, and I can't look, and God is a stranger and other that we sort of throw things at, and we just hope that He's going to listen rather than respond to us. So we can fall down in the other direction as well. Falling to either side is detrimental. I don't want to miss it, and my hope for you is that you don't miss it, both the wonder of prayer and the intimacy of prayer that go together. So coming back to that verse there, Galatians 4, By grace, we have been elevated beyond our station into the family of God. I just want you to note that all persons of the Trinity are represented there. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. When we pray, when we think about God, we're thinking about all persons of the Trinity. By grace, we have access to the Father. It's because of what Jesus did in his incarnation, his life, his death, and his resurrection. It's because of that, but it's empowered by the Holy Spirit within us. So prayer is Trinitarian. That's the first sort of point. So I wonder if you were taught to pray or if you picked up from people, is there a particular person of the Trinity that you address when you pray? Now, it's not wrong to pray to the Holy Spirit or to pray to Jesus or to pray the Father. But typically, and this is what Jesus taught us in his prayer, this is a pretty standard way to pray. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus or with the authority of Jesus or because of what Jesus has done, and we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the normal prayer pattern that the New Testament gives us. Again, I say sometimes it's really appropriate to pray to Jesus. But this is the normal pattern. One example of that would be, if I say, thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice on the cross. That's talking to Jesus. But if I say, thank you, God, for sending Jesus, God the Father, for sending Jesus, I'm praying to God. It's the same thing, just addressing a different person of the Trinity. So that's the general pattern. When I chat to people, generally, I find most people understand the concept of praying to the Father, God the Father, and many people, especially if they've been brought up in a Christian context, a Christian country, or had some Christian schooling or in church, they sort of understand this idea of Jesus, because we talk about Jesus a lot, which is good, that Jesus is the one who's made a way for us to access the Father. He's the first Adam, and he's made a way through his resurrection for us to come before God. His righteousness is imputed to us, imparted to us. So, really quickly, because I've just told you something and I just want to back it up with some scripture. In John 16, before we get to John 17, Jesus is addressing his disciples, and it's just before he goes to his death. And John 16 says, he says, very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name, but now ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. So Jesus tells the disciples, hey, you can ask for things in my name. But we're not just throwing a tagline on the end of our prayer saying, I say all this massive shopping list of things, and then in Jesus' name, I'd like it, please. Now, when we ask for it in Jesus' name, we're saying, it's his will, his purposes, it's under his nature and character and authority as well. So when we ask in alignment with Jesus, it's fulfilled. So that's what Jesus talking to his disciples. A bit further on, verse 26 of John 16 says, in that day you'll ask in my name. And I'm not saying that I will then ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. There's Jesus saying that we're praying in the name of Jesus, but it's directly to the Father because of what he's done, because he's revealed the Father to us and we've loved him. John 17, this is Jesus praying for all believers. So he firstly prays for his disciples and then he shifts to praying for all believers. So this is for those who follow Jesus. He says, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So when you become a Christian, you become in Christ. When the Father looks at you, he sees Jesus. So all your sins, everything that you've done that has been against God's plans, is wiped away, and he just sees Jesus. So we're in Christ. That may not be news to anyone here. That's something that hopefully is presented with the gospel every time we preach. But in Christ, we have salvation. In Christ, we can approach the throne room. So I guess the question that comes up often when I'm at Curtin Uni is, if I'm a Christian already, if I've already got salvation, why do I need to bother praying? Has anyone ever asked you that question? Why bother praying? Because, you know, I've said the prayer and I'm following Jesus, and, you know, it all comes down to your theology. It's, you know, whether you think God is working through people or whether you think God has already decided all course of events. And that's something we can chat about afterwards. I'm going to give you some scripture that covers both theologies pretty well. So if we're in Christ, we're assured of our salvation, why do we need to pray? I want to suggest that it's a beautiful gift. It's something that God has given us because of the time that we're in, and through the Holy Spirit, it'll transform us at the same time. So there's a pretty lengthy chapter in Romans 8 that goes through this in detail. So if you're interested, please go there. I'm just going to pick a couple of snippets out, and I hope that it will be helpful to you. We're going to go fairly quickly, just skirting across the surface. So from Romans 8, there are three sections. Verses 1 to 11 says, "There is no condemnation because of the Messiah's death, because of Jesus' death and the Spirit's life-giving power. There is now no condemnation." Jesus has done it. At the end of of that chapter, bookending it, so either side, verses 31 to 39, again, Paul repeats, "There is no condemnation, because nothing can separate us from God's love, the love that he displayed through his death, resurrection, and ascension." Again, Jesus has done it. So we've got Jesus having paid everything he needs to pay. There is no condemnation. We are seen as righteous by the Father. Now, bookends either side of Romans 8. And then in between, in verses 12 through to 30, it talks about the role of the Spirit. And some of you may be familiar with these passages, but in it talks about the Spirit provides the assurance of our sonship and daughtership, the insurance of our inheritance, similarly to what we read in Galatians 4. And it also talks a lot about groaning, that we groan and the earth groans, and the Spirit is working through the groaning as it groans. So let's read together. Verse 18. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us." This is Paul saying this. We get to pray because we've not yet experienced the final glory of a redeemed world and perfect communion with God. So we're presently in a fallen world. We're presently suffering. And Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to this glory that's coming. "We know that the whole of creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." A lot of verses there. Romans is fairly heavy. It's a lot to unpack. But I want to suggest to you that what this is telling us is, just like Jesus bridges the gap of sin so that we can come before the Father, in prayer the Spirit bridges the gap in our understanding of God's will. So we're in a fallen world, and we can't understand, and we can never understand and comprehend all of God and what he's doing. So sometimes we don't know how to pray. Or sometimes we think we're praying correctly, but we're not, because God's will is in a different direction. And what this verse is saying is it doesn't matter. God has given us a Spirit within our hearts. The Spirit knows our hearts, and the Spirit is interceding on behalf of us with the Father. The Spirit is the gap. So if you're a young Christian and you're praying, if your heart's turned towards God, the Spirit is interceding and moving to work God's will through your prayers. If you're a mature Christian, been following Jesus for a very long time, Your prayers might sound different. Your prayers might be more in line with God's will. But again, it's not perfect prayers, and the Spirit's interceding and the Spirit's bridging that gap. And the really cool thing is, as we let the Spirit work in us, that gap does get smaller. We'll never close the gap, but that gap does get smaller. So as we develop our relationship with God, our prayers will become more aligned with God's will, and our lives will become more aligned with God's will as we become more and more conformed to the image of the Son, which is where it goes to in this next bit. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So even if we don't know what to pray, God is working for good for those who have hearts turned towards Him. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. So this theme of the already and the not yet. We know in part, but we don't yet know everything. And we come before God and we pray and we talk to Him, and it's, you know, if not for the Spirit, it wouldn't be a fragrant offering to God. It would just be our selfish rumblings that don't fully align with what God's trying to do. Yet the Spirit prays for us, intercedes. So there's two things. This is the take home. So if you just forget everything I said before, this is what I'd love to share with you. Read Galatians 4, read Romans 8, unpack it yourselves. But this is the crux of what we want to share with you tonight. By grace, we have been elevated into the family of God. We have direct access to God because of the work of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's such a wonderful gift. We can abuse that gift by not accepting the intimacy that's on offer and just sort of placing God off on a throne that we can't approach. That's one way that we can not fully take it up. Or we can treat God very casually, very flippantly, and just use Him like the genie that we rub the lamp and just ask Him for stuff because it's become too familiar. Those are two extremes, but when we are in relationship with God and we're praying, listening, both the intimacy grows and our understanding of just how far above us and how wonderful He is, that also grows together. And just the beautiful gift that being in His family means. It means we are sons and daughters of the Most High and we have an inheritance in glory. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we don't have to have a perfect theology or the best words or even understand what God's purposes are in order to pray, because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. So if you've ever thought, you know, I'm not going to pray because I think it'll sound bad, Romans 8 tells us, actually, if you love God, He is for you. And the Spirit is going to translate and intercede. So pray. Develop that intimacy. And as you allow the Spirit to work and transform and conform you to the image of Christ, your will align more with God. So, yeah, you just... Hopefully that's an encouragement. It certainly encourages me. I don't have to have it all together. I can just come before God because I'm part of the family. And even when I don't have the right thing to say or I have no idea what to say because, you know, something really big's happened in my life and I'm just lost for words, the heart's turned towards God and the Spirit does the interceding and the translation for us. Just to finish Romans 8, this is the right at the end of the chapter. It says, who then is the one who condemns? There's no one. Christ who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of the Father and is also interceding for us. We've got the Spirit interceding and we've got Jesus Christ interceding. Because you've got God Himself through the Spirit and the Son interceding. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? what can separate us from God's love? When you're a Christian, nothing can. All we do is we surrender our hearts to God, allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, and pray even when we don't know what to pray or how to pray or if our prayers are even being effective, we pray. Just love to pray for us. Hopefully that's been helpful. I'd love to chat to anyone after. And please, read Galatians 4, read Romans 8, and come back next week with your questions to me, not to anyone else. prayer is a beautiful gift. And just the knowledge that we come before the Creator, and not only does He hear them, but He responds to us and He works to. It's just wonderful. So if you'd like prayer for anything as well, right after the service, we'd love to pray with you. But right now, I would love to pray as I invite Linda and Ronan back up. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that we are part of your family. Lord, just by your grace, this gift that we don't deserve, you've elevated us to be your sons and daughters. We get to spend eternity with you in paradise. So thank you for that. I pray that through your Holy Spirit within us, you would encourage us. Encourage us that we don't have to know how to pray or what to pray, but Lord, just to pray, to present our words and our thoughts as an offering with our hearts directed for you. Thank you that the Spirit intercedes for us. And Lord, for anyone who's not a follower, who's asking questions or trying to wrestle with, is God real? Is it what Jesus did true? Lord, I pray that your Spirit would do a work in them. Lord, would speak to their hearts and just give them the questions and give them the opportunities to unpack with your word, or give opportunities to unpack with another person. Thank you, Lord, that nothing can separate us from your love. No trouble, no hardship, no persecution or famine. Nothing can separate us. Lord, may we know that, and may we live boldly because of that. Amen. And Lord, I pray these things in alignment with Jesus' will. I pray them in the name of Jesus, so that they will be done. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.